Put that snow shovel away and get the glove out. Opening day is here. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Nick Hauser. This is After the Score.
Welcome to After the Score from WOSU Public Media. I'm Steve Brown here with guest host Nick Hauser. Today we'll update our brackets after the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament.
And we'll talk with the OSU wrestler who's won three straight national titles.
But first, baseball is back. Opening day is Monday, March 31st. Everyone has a perfect record and thinks they're a contender, especially the Cincinnati Reds and Cleveland Indians. Both teams made the playoffs last year and hope to return this season. We talked with beat reporters for both teams. First to the Reds with Cincinnati Inquirer reporter C. Trent Rosecrans. We started our conversation with an update on relief pitcher Aroldis Chapman, who was recently taken off the field on a stretcher after being hit in the face with a line drive.
He's doing remarkably well, considering he got hit in the face with, I've seen estimates that it was, the ball came off the bat when it hit him at about 112 miles per hour. The pitch was 99 miles per hour, 54 feet away. He got hit in the face. It was remarkable. I'm still stunned to see him upright, considering everything that happened. But he walked in. He looked like kind of like a boxer who just lost a fight. But
any word yet on when he'll be pitching again?
They say that he can resume activities in about a week.
Wow.
And that will be more running, and then in 4 to 6 weeks. The thought is that he could be pitching in a game in 4 to 6 weeks.
The Reds made a change. They fired Dusty Baker in the offseason and promoted pitching coach Brian Price to the manager's position. What has the feel been in spring training with this new coaching staff, and what are kind of some of the expectations?
Well, I mean, the expectations are high. This is a team that has been in the playoffs three of the last 4 years, won 91 games last year, and that's still a lot of wins. This is a team that is expected to not only go to the playoffs, but to advance in the playoffs. There's a whole lot expected from this team. However, that can almost be tempered by the spring training they've had. They've had a lot of injuries, and so it's been tough.
All of the baseball fans I know seem to be talking about Billy Hamilton, a young prospect for the Reds. Help us get to know Billy Hamilton a little bit and why people are so excited.
Well, they're so excited just because he is unlike anybody else in baseball in the last, say, almost 20 years. The only guy you can really compare him to in the last 20 years was Vince Coleman, who played for the Cardinals. His rookie year was 1985. That's 30 years. I forget how old I am. 30 years.
Me and you both.
And that's how different it is. He is so fast. He's probably the fastest guy who's played this since Deion Sanders, but Deion Sanders wasn't a baseball player, and there's some differences between baseball speed and just regular speed. Billy Hamilton came up last year, and I think it kind of set the tone that his first deal was when he came up. It was a 0-0 game against the St. Louis Cardinals in September, and everybody in the house knew he was running against Yadier Molina, who's the best catcher in baseball. And defensively, there's nobody quite like Yadier Molina. Yadier Molina knew Billy Hamilton was running. Everybody knew Billy Hamilton was running, and they couldn't stop him.
The Reds play in a tough division with the Cardinals and the Pirates. Do you think they make the playoffs? Do you think they make it 4 out of 5 and do advance to the postseason again?
There is so much uncertainty right now. It looks like they're going to start 6 guys on the disabled list. And, the games early count for the same as the games late. It's going to be tough. And I would throw the Brewers in there, too. I think the Brewers have really improved. So I wouldn't exactly overlook them. I see this as a second-place team that will have a tough battle to get one of those 2 wild-card spots.
C. Trent Rosecrans covers the Reds for the Cincinnati Inquirer. Thanks again for your time, sir.
No problem.
Like Cincinnati, expectations are high in Cleveland. The Indians were one of the biggest surprises in baseball last year. We asked Plain Dealer reporter Zach Meisel what he expects in the second year under manager Terry Francona.
It's a really interesting conundrum there, because Francona said all offseason it's a lot more difficult to go from 92 wins to 95 or 96 than it was to take this team from 68 wins to 92. And a lot of times you hear, you know, that first year, it's a new perspective. And in that second year, not that it gets stale, but it's nothing you've never heard before. So it'll be interesting to see how Francona gets through to players. But on the flip side of that, they've been through this. They know what it takes to get to the postseason. It's definitely a different case they find themselves in, but it's, you know, I think they're going to be okay, just because Francona's done this before. He's taken teams to the World Series.
You've been watching this club all throughout spring training. What have you learned as opening day approaches?
This team loves playing together. They love being around each other. They get to the ballpark really early in the morning. You know, Nick Swisher seems like he has his own built-in caffeine. At 6 in the morning, he's bouncing off the walls. And the guys just thrive off that. And I think they love being around each other in this clubhouse. I mean, it's certainly it helps when you're on a winning team. When they won 68 games 2 years ago, they went 5-24 in August. Manny Acta was a lame duck manager. The clubhouse was like a morgue. And you walk in there and it's silent. Guys are keeping to themselves. It's not like that anymore.
And this really is a quintessential team effort. They didn't have a single guy hit 25 home runs last year. No one hit 100 RBIs. No one won 20 games. Can they do that again this year? Is that a sustainable model?
I think they're really banking more this year on guys. The guys that were in-house improving. I mean, they think Carlos Santana is 27 years old. This is his prime. They signed him to a long-term deal a couple of years ago with the vision that, you know, 2014 is 2015. These are the years where he's going to put up the best numbers of his career. So if he hit 20 homers last year, I think they expect 30 to 35 this year. I think you look at Jason Kipnis, emerged as an all-star last year. What can he do for an encore? I mean, this guy kind of tailed off in the second half. Can he keep things going, sustain it for a full season? It's more about in-house progression, because they didn't add a lot of guys in free agency.
Is Danny Salazar the ace of the staff at this point, or do you think it's still Justin Masterson?
Salazar has the best stuff. There's no question about that, but they're really, really babying him. He had Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago. They've monitored his innings very closely ever since then. And he's built upon what he's done each year. And last year he threw 145 innings, which doubled the most he had thrown since 2010. So they're babying him. He's going to start as the number 5 starter. He got a late start in spring training. They want him to kind of build up so that he's at full strength by August and September. And to do that, they're kind of taking things slow in March and April. So Masterson's the ace. He's going to hit free agency at the end of the year and probably command a lot of money, probably ace-like money. Salazar is a 24-year-old kid who they just hope they get a full season out of. But certainly, certainly, Salazar down the road, they expect to be this team's number one.
Zach Meisel covers the Cleveland Indians for The Plain Dealer and for Cleveland.com. Zach, thanks again.
You bet. Anytime, guys.
When it comes to Ohio State sports, football and basketball seem to get all the press.
We did a segment on the record-setting OSU men's tennis team earlier this year. But yes, it's a football school.
One OSU athlete, though, is trying to challenge that, and he's doing a great job. Wrestler Logan Stieber just won his third consecutive national title. We caught up with the junior from Northern Ohio. Logan Stieber, welcome to After the Score.
Hey, great to be here.
So you've won 3 national titles in a row. I guess forget football and basketball. OSU's a wrestling school now?
Yeah, you know, it's we're up and coming. You know, we've gotten top 10 a couple of years in a row, and next year, you know, we're hoping to go out with a national title.
So OSU is considered an elite wrestling program, is that fair?
Yeah, you know, it's probably in the second tier right now. You know, the top schools that have been there for a while, Iowa, Minnesota, Oklahoma State, schools like that. But we're like right at the next level, and I think within the next 5 years, we'll be in the top tier.
So you're a junior right now. You have another shot at winning a national title. What's your future plans beyond that?
I'd like to train for the Olympics 2016, possibly 2020, but definitely 2016 is the main goal.
No WWE in your future?
No,
not WrestleMania. The last wrestler I really remember through OSU was Tommy Rollins. I had the extreme displeasure of losing to him in high school. I think it took about 30 seconds, our match did. Who are some of the other most famous wrestlers? Are there any names that people would know?
Jay Jaggers, he's on staff right now. He was a two-time national champion as well. Kevin Randleman, Mark Coleman, those guys were two-time national champions who went on to be UFC stars. So those are probably the most popular names.
So tell me, Logan, as you train for the next year and becoming only the fourth NCAA wrestler to win four straight national titles.
I'm excited. You know, we should have a really, really good team that should have a chance to compete for a national title. So, you know, that'd be great motivation enough for me to, train real hard. It should be a fun year. With the team being hopefully so good. So I'm excited about it, and it'll be fun.
Like I said, I wrestled in high school. I think I just did it because my friends did it, because looking back, it was really just the most awful thing. You're constantly cutting weight. Practices are hot and sweaty. The room usually stinks. It's not a glamorous sport. There are like three people in the stands at most meets. What in the world attracts a person to wrestling?
I think just, the competition. It's one-on-one. Football, basketball, those require your teammates, so you can win. But if you lose, you don't always, you can't always control it. In wrestling, it's up to you. So it's one that's like an addiction, it's tough, but it's, I really, really enjoy it, though.
Logan, out in the national championship, there was five Big Ten schools in the top 10 of the standings. Is the Big Ten a powerhouse in wrestling?
Yeah, there's a lot of conferences that have gotten better, but Big Ten is definitely the powerhouse in it, and it makes it tough, especially at the Big Ten tournament, because it's even more condensed. But, it's a tough conference.
We've been talking with Logan Stieber, the OSU wrestler who just won his third straight national title. Logan, congratulations on all your success and continued success in the future.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Nick, I had to sneak in that Hulk Hogan theme song. When I think of wrestling, that's all I think about is just watching WrestleMania, watching Hulk Hogan leg drop the Ultimate Warrior, and then I would just do the same to my brother off the top of the sofa.
There's nothing like the family room wrestling matches until someone got hurt.
Yeah, or you broke something, then you got in trouble, got grounded from mom. Switching from wrestling to our NCAA brackets, Thomas and I did spend last week a segment on the podcast last week, filling out our bracket. I will clearly win that challenge. Thomas is no challenge for me. Nick is sitting in this week. Thomas is out. In my bracket, I shouldn't have all this bracket hubris that I seem to have. My bracket is garbage. It's complete garbage.
Mine did pretty good, except for the Buckeyes are out.
Yeah. And Dayton's in, which you're really happy about, right?
Can't stand it. I'm a Xavier fan. I grew up in Dayton, having a sister that went to UD, and she has yet to rub it in, but I'm sure that's coming.
And the best part is that they're playing Stanford, so they have a pretty good chance of getting to the Elite Eight.
And it'll be over the top with enthusiasm in Dayton. We'll just have to turn off Facebook and our cell phones.
That will really make your weekend. I have Kansas winning it all, and that is obviously not going to happen. They lost to Stanford last weekend, who plays Dayton. Nick, your champion is still in.
I've picked the Louisville Cardinals. We'll see what they can do. I have 3 out of 4 in the final four left, so it's a possibility.
Now, were you just riding every year there are a couple teams who are disrespected, like Michigan State and Louisville. Was that your impetus for picking Louisville, or did you watch Louisville a lot this season?
I did not watch them. I kind of shocked that I did pick them. Back-to-back is tough to do, but as I was filling out the bracket, I thought they would have the best path to get there.
Yeah, I suppose that Dayton is the biggest Cinderella team left. Is that who you would think is the most surprising team in the Sweet 16?
I would think so. After 30 years, you're kind of shocked to see them there. But who knows? Stanford or Tennessee could go on a run.
Yeah, I still have Michigan State, and Arizona. You have who did you have in your Final Four?
I had Florida, Michigan State, Louisville, and Creighton, who's obviously out of the tournament.
Ooh, that's a bad pick. That's almost as bad as Kansas. Almost as bad as Duke, actually. I had Duke in the Final Four. Duke lost early on. Going through the WOSU Bracket Challenge. Now, we filled out one of these for fun. It's just an office pool we do. And Mike Thompson, news director, is winning. He had to change his team name, though. Mid-challenge, which is always fun. He had it go orange because he's from Syracuse. That's where he went to school. He possibly could win. Susan Wiles, who is in second place, she will not win because she only has 96 possible points at this point. And Brian Krieger, our IT director, in third place. Get that. Imagine that. The computer guy is winning the computer-related challenge. I think he cheated.
He must have been on Nate Silver's site and looking at all those algorithms and statistical analysis.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I have Kansas winning it all. Nick has Louisville winning it all. Obviously, he stands a better chance. But we will update our brackets next week. And that will do it for After the Score from WOSU Public Media. You can always find the show at WOSU.org/AfterTheScore on iTunes and on the WOSU Public Media mobile app.
You can also follow us on Twitter at After the Score. For Thomas Bradley, I'm Nick Hauser.
And I'm Steve Bradley.